My name is Dario Cueto. I'm the owner and promoter of Lucha Underground.
Be careful what you wish for. Everything in my temple has a price.
I told you that this is not a stadium where children can cheer for their heroes. Did I lie about that? No. I told you this is a temple, my temple. Well, newsflash, Dario Cueto is the ultimate authority figure, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Oh, that's, you know, I just love the sound of that show right now. I love the texture of that show. I my only regret is that we discovered it so late. Here we are, possibly the final episode, at least for the, you know, time being, of As the Heel Turns. I am your host, Alexander K. Lee, a.k.a. Big Al. With me is our own sexy star, Connor Dorian.
I get a new name every week now.
Dario Cueto Passarelli.
That's Dario.
Dario Cueto Passarelli. Guys, we're going to talk a lot about Lucha Underground today, I hope. But of course, we're going to have our usual Raw coverage and maybe a little bit of reminiscing over the time we've spent together and the wrestling, you know, that we've experienced as a whole. Because we've all been big wrestling fans before we met each other. But, you know, anytime you meet a new group of friends, it filters it through a different lens. And I think I'm sure you'll agree that there's some memories to be discussed.
Oh, certainly there's a lot of memories, but for me, it's not so much like filtering it through a different lens. What I found in meeting the two of you has been more like, okay, I don't have to be like under the covers talking about wrestling anymore. It's okay to like wrestling.
Yeah, I found the same thing.
Especially at my age.
You're saying a new group of friends that enjoy wrestling. I've never had a group of friends that have enjoyed wrestling. I've always been a lone wolf.
Even during the Attitude Era when like everyone was watching?
Well, okay. The Attitude Era, I was like, what, 6, 7, 8, 9?
Okay.
So there was a few of us that watched wrestling, like in grade 7, 8, whatever it was, 13, 14 years old. But other than that, it's the first time in 10 years.
Huh. I don't know why. I don't know why. That shouldn't surprise me, but for some reason it does.
And I'm more along the lines of Connor here as well. I had to. Because there's nobody to talk to, I had to force feed my kids until they liked it.
No, that's just good parenting.
That's just good parenting.
I was fortunate enough to grow up in the Attitude Era while I was in high school, and it's just every day, like every Tuesday and Wednesday, even Wednesday would trickle over, people just yelling catchphrases or stupid stuff that happened on Raw, suck it, and do you smell what I'm cooking? And it was everywhere, and it was, you know, it was a magical time. And I think it's, you know, strangely, we're kind of moving back in that direction. It's definitely less taboo to talk about your love of wrestling these days. ESPN has embraced it, obviously, and it's all over social media, and so many pro athletes take catchphrases and, you know, moves, like, you know, poses and stuff. Yeah,
John Cena's
You can't see me. When the Giants, their last World Series run, they were doing the Daniel Bryan yes chant. So it's interesting. In many ways, it's obviously not as big as it was during the Attitude Era, but in some aspects, it kind of is. So,
and I don't know if this is like a new thing. It's a new thing I've stumbled upon. I don't know if they've been around for a while, but these John Cena vines that keep going around. Have you ever seen any of these?
No.
They're just like random, like, hey, I'm, and then it cuts in John Cena and has his music dun, play. Dun, dun,
dun. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that's a new thing or not.
Obviously, there's been the prank phone calls.
Yes.
That quite hilarious that Alex refuses to see.
I listened to one, and I thought it was amazingly not funny. But
see, my girlfriend showed me one. It was like a radio show calling in to some lady. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
I listened to that one, too, but I wasn't. There was parts of it that I found funny, but after a while, I'm just like, stop bothering
the poor woman. Don't you support
the
troops? See?
That was
funny. See? The troops
are saying there was parts that were funny.
Oh, yeah, you start cringing, but then at the end, it all worked out well.
Yeah.
That's all that matters, that in the end, it all works out well. Almost like a WWE storyline.
Are you segueing into Raw?
No.
Segues are my job, buddy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And if I say we're going to segue into Lucha Underground, we're going to segue into Lucha Underground.
Did you watch the show?
Well, we watched, what are we all caught on? We're in agreement we're on with. Episodes 3, episodes 4.
Oh, so you did watch.
We watched 4 episodes.
Of Lucha Underground.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Just draw your opposed to.
Yeah.
Are you a wrestling racist?
No, I care about quality. Oh. I'm trying to have a life again. It is crazy, though, how, like, when you watch Raw for so many years, it becomes just a habit. And three-hour block of time is like, I know I'm what I'm doing on Monday for that time. And you just don't even think about it. You just did it. And then when you take a break, it's so refreshing. When you take a break and just watch any other kind of wrestling or any other kind of entertainment or read a book, it's great. I may not go back. Connor, we were talking today, and you said, like, am I back yet? And I'm like, man, I may never come back. I may be done. I may be done with Raw. And special events are awesome.
So you say it's refreshing. I would miss it. 100% I would miss it.
Really?
I need my fill of the big company, even if it's not as good as Lucha, what we're watching now.
But there's so many ways to watch it, to watch Raw, like watch the WWE. So many ways to get your fix.
Right, but I mean, I'm looking at it and going, you know, 3 hours, yeah, that's much, and there is a lot of stuff in there that's filler. But then they still produce moments that make me come back, and those moments are enough. Now, mind you, I don't have the opportunity to watch it Monday night live. So I'm thankful that I don't have to sit through everything else to get those moments. But when I watch it, you know, the next day, I'm able to get to the moments that I want to see. And like last Monday night, Raw had its moments too.
The last two shows have had their moments. There's been countless good matches the last 2 weeks. You're missing out on a good time in Raw
just
right now.
Just get into it.
I try to stop there, Con, and you continued on. Because
yep.
I know that the guy sitting to my left over here, you know, wants to get into Lucha, which is...
Well, it's too late
it's
now.
It's been a lot
no,
better.
It's too late
no,
now.
No, no, it's
no,
been
no,
a lot
we're talking about Raw. You know what? I hate you both. I tried to steer us away. I'm only the freaking host of this show, but whatever. You know, we'll just go where the talent wants to go. Okay, that's how these shows work now. So obviously, okay, we're talking about Raw. Let's talk about Raw. What's you know, it is what it is. The whole thing about me not coming back and I'm missing out. That's the point of a boycott. A boycott means nothing if you say, oh, I'm boycotting something for a month, and then you hear it's good, like, oh, I'm coming back. That's that defeats the purpose of a boycott.
No,
really.
No. I mean, I don't speak for Connor here, but I completely respect your boycott and I support you 100%.
I don't.
But you never did.
No, I never supported
about anything really. That's
no.
Not. Boys, what happened on Raw? What did I mean? I heard last week's episode was very good and I heard this episode wasn't bad either. So what happened this week?
Derek, would you like to take the reins
anything
on this one?
Well, again, just for a moment. I don't even know if we're going to go in and describe the entire Raw or not. I don't
no,
care.
No, it's not.
I picked out on a couple of things and the first thing that I picked up on is Cesaro had a match. And I'm trying to remember, against The Miz.
Miz, yeah.
And he did this, you're familiar with when a wrestler is flat on his back and the other wrestler standing above him. And what do you
the
call
hip
it?
Up.
The hip up.
I believe it's kip up or nip up.
Hip
or
up.
They jump up to
it's
the...
It's not a hip up.
It's a hip up.
It is not a hip up.
It is.
You're talking about when they get up, jump
go
up
ahead,
without
debate.
Using their hands. Like what Shawn Michaels does.
It's a hip up.
It is not a hip up. Connor, I'm doing this to save your future
is it a
wrestling.
No, no, you're calling it a hip up. It's a hiccup.
It has been both referred to as a nip up and a kip up. It has never been referred to as a hip up or hip hop.
But at any rate, Cesaro is there and he does a
nip up.
Nip up.
A hip up.
Look it up right now. Look it up. Who's calling it a hip up?
There's like hip up exercises, hip up training.
That's not the same thing we're talking about.
You're not like putting your nips up.
No, it's like
you're kicking your hips
I'm
up.
I'm not even having this conversation because I know I'm right. Keep going, Daryl, please. It's not even a conversation worth having.
So Cesaro does that.
Thank you.
And then goes back on his back, does it again, goes back on his back, does it again, goes 6 or 7 times. Like, I mean, just watching it was absolutely unbelievable. He does something always a little bit innovative. He always tells a story in the ring. And it really bothered me again last night that he's being lost in nothingness on the WWE.
I think that's due to the fact that they tried to push him when they put Paul Heyman with him. And he just had no charisma. And I think they're scared of trying to push him again because... He's shown more charisma with like the Cesaro section. He's got this whole persona now of.
But that's the whole point is that they don't need to push him. He's doing himself. They just need to put him in an opportunity where he can excel, and they're not doing that where they are right now.
What do you think's the best spot for him?
Honestly, he should be in contention, not for the WWE title just yet, but he should be put in matches with people that would you know, whether he's evil and goes up against somebody like a Dolph Ziggler or a Kevin Owens and continues to do that again and build up a series of matches that way, but progressing to a belt and I think progressing to a main event status, because he certainly can stay toe-to-toe with anybody.
Yeah, I want to touch upon that Paul Heyman thing. I agree that that run definitely soured them on him. Unfortunately, it was completely not his or Heyman's fault. They were just a bad pairing. Heyman's a great manager, but I think for whatever reason, he just didn't know what to do with Cesaro. And also, Cesaro was sort of his placeholder while Brock was away. You know, he was sort of managing both, but Brock wasn't on TV. And the other thing was that Cesaro was starting to get over as a babyface, and I don't know, and they just chose not to acknowledge that. They said, well, we don't want him to get over as a babyface now, so we're going to put him with Heyman. And fans were just ready to get behind him. So it didn't work for a reason. It didn't work because they didn't give people what they wanted. Now, why did they do that? I don't know. You know, again, maybe they just thought he wasn't ready. Maybe they were short on heels at the time. But I think I agree, Connie, you're right. That soured them. But I also, it's obviously was out of his control, his and Heyman's control. So I don't know. Very unfortunate. And I wish they would think about someone like who they love, like Del Rio, who has failed to get over, who I like, but he's about as over. I mean, he's not more over than Cesaro. Well, maybe a little bit, but only because they pushed him so hard and they never gave up on him. So why do they keep pushing a guy like Del Rio so much and a guy like Cesaro, like one, you know, one bad run and that's it?
I want to touch on the Del Rio thing a little bit. Have you ever seen someone come back or like debut, I guess it's like a re-debut, I guess, and have three matches in two nights?
I can't recall. No, not that I can think of.
Like, I was just thinking about that. He had the match against John Cena, Hell in a Cell, which he beat him. He had a match on Raw to make it to a Fatal 4-Way in the end of Raw the next night. I don't know if that was just something interesting, I thought.
Yeah, I've never been a huge Del Rio supporter. I think his wrestling skill is great, but I think a lot of his the gimmicks that they put on, nothing against him, but the way he's been portrayed, to me, has always been boring. I never really got into him all that much.
I agree with that right now, too. I think his gimmick with Zeb has been a sleeper.
And I think it's confusing as well. Again, I haven't been watching the shows, but just reading about it, I don't particularly understand.
I think a boycott, not like know nothing about Raw. I don't think you should read it either.
No, it's I'm keeping up with
the
news.
It's a complete boycott.
The boycott is my boycott. I don't follow your... Well, you have no boycott experience. You can't be telling me how to do my boycott.
And like I said, the confusion might be it because they had Jack Swagger on Monday night.
Yeah.
And the storyline being, you know, hey, what's really going on here? Because even he's finding it confusing and doesn't make sense kind of thing.
So, I guess he was supposed to like represent the common man. It's like, please explain this like in a movie, like when a character enters a new realm. And
no, like the companion on the Doctor Who show.
Sure.
The companion represents us. I was asking the questions.
And then he can give all this exposition and explain what's going on.
Who's been your favorite companion?
You haven't met her yet.
No.
You're still in season 3, right?
Sorry, don't worry, guys. Anyone listening.
Wrong podcast.
No, I'm saying there are no Doctor Who spoilers here. Dario is a professional. He would not do that to you. So if you're like Connor and you're sort of binge-watching Doctor Who, you are safe. You're in a safe zone where you can be with people who appreciate the show but will not ruin it for you. So what else is going on? What's going on with Roman Reigns?
What's going on with Roman Reigns? He is in the John Cena role right now.
Someone has to be.
Someone has to be, I guess.
How do you feel about that?
I don't feel anything about that, and that's a problem.
Ooh, that's bad.
I think I would rather feel hatred towards it more than just I don't care about it.
Yeah, it was at least interesting when he won the Royal Rumble and people just start freaking out on him and like just hating him. Like you would at least kind of tune in to be like, how's this crowd gonna like react to him? You know, it's a shame because you know me. I keep saying every week I think he's getting better and I'm certainly more behind him.
Well, he's definitely getting better.
Yes,
there's no question about that. I still am not sold on him though. I know a lot of people are starting to get sold on him, but how about you, Dario?
I've been sold on him from the beginning. I don't think he needs. He doesn't come across to me, obviously, like a Cesaro does, you know, like the wrestling skill. But I think he has a persona. Even if you want to go back to like a Hulk Hogan, larger than life kind of stature. And I think he's okay riding that wave. I always felt bad in terms of how the crowd reacted to him. I thought it was unfair. And I can easily see a championship belt around him.
I was about to ask, how would you feel if... So, their matches for... They're having a title match at Survivor Series.
Survivor Series, yeah.
When is that?
2 weeks.
Do we know?
November 25th.
How would you feel November 25th, Roman Reigns, World Heavyweight Champion? Clean
like
win.
It. Great.
Has a match for Rollins. Clean win.
I have no problem with it, except... As I was watching Raw last night, another thought entered my mind, which I'll talk about later. But I have no problems with Roman Reigns being the champion. I have no problems with him winning it, Survivor Series.
Connor, say again, just no. You'd have a major problem with it, or you don't care?
I would have a problem with it.
You'd actively kind of like...
I like Rollins with the belt.
Okay.
I think he should hold it for... I don't know. I think Roman is the guy to beat him. I just don't think it's the first match that he beats them.
Okay, so maybe not Survivor Series. What about the next major event? So not the next, like I'm trying to look down the line, but
what's the one in November or in December?
I can't recall right now. But let's say 2 months. Let's say we wait till 2016. Let's say January. Let's say January rolls around and they say it's a new year. Let's put the belt on Roman. And then are you kind of like they've been feuding for a couple of months, like two solid months, and then. Obviously, it's hard to say, like, because it depends the quality of the feud, obviously, and, you know, it's hard to look ahead. But just let's...
See, on a personal level with me, I've never enjoyed a belt changing hands at the Royal Rumble. I don't know, that's just a thing that I have. I would rather see the champ either not fight and just come out and have a feud with the winner of the Royal Rumble after. But I've never enjoyed seeing someone new win the belt.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Well, no, because I had the same feeling, and here's the way I look at it. If the champion is facing somebody in the Royal Rumble, then there's a good chance that that person isn't one of the 130s, yet is a number one contender. That's the way I would look at it.
Yeah.
Like, you're taking somebody out that might have a chance to, you know, if I'm a wrestler, let's say if if this was all real, then would I rather have a 1-in-30 shot to headline WrestleMania, or would I want a title shot? At that point, so I don't know.
I want to just say that I'm ready for them to put the title on him. It might be a disaster. I honestly don't know. But, you know, I'm always mixed on the Seth Rollins thing. Like, I think it's been a good run, too. I find him very entertaining, especially, and we'll talk, you guys can talk about this next, any segment with him in the New Day. It would just be interesting to see if you give him, obviously Survivor Series is a big show, but it's not as big as... I think it's safe to say it doesn't have the prestige it once did. So maybe this is the show to kind of start the Roman run. Give it a test. 2 months, 3 months. See how people react. If people hate it, people hate it. But it would be interesting to try. I think Seth's been a good champion. And you can always put it back on Seth. That's a great thing. I think his character is strong enough. I mean, I don't think he's always been booked strong. But I think he's capable of getting his heat back. And
do you think it would be good for both guys to... just exchange the belts
sort of,
for the next few pay-per-views?
That kind of like they used to do. That would be interesting. Maybe like every couple of months or something.
Yeah.
Because a lot, I mean, again, it's not the Attitude Era anymore. We don't see the belt change hands as much. But, I mean, if you do it every now and then, like you don't do it all the time, but like for a feud like this where there's such a history between them.
What a title change on Raw.
So evenly matched.
I'd love to see that. I would really love to see a title change on Raw.
Yeah, it's going to be a while before that happens, I think.
Or on Superstars. Just straight up, just, just blow people's minds. Just like, oh man, I gotta watch Superstars this week. I heard Seth dropped the title to Zack Ryder.
I think it'd be interesting if you do it on NXT.
It would just be cool to have a W title match on NXT.
You know what we need back, right? Is that the WWE belt be like the hardcore? It's defended 24/7.
Yeah.
Now
any place, anytime, anywhere.
So the next event is TLC. That would be an interesting place for Seth Rollins to lose it in some sort of gimmick match and do the whole like, oh, you couldn't beat me in a regular match, only this. And I think we have to accept, at least at this point in his career, Roman is really a hardcore style wrestler. He's not, you know what I mean? I don't know if he's, I think all his good matches with Wyatt were either, I think, ones like No Holds Barred and then the Hell in a Cell match. So I don't know if he can do sort of a non-brawl, like a really great non-brawl match. The one with Daniel Bryan was really good, but he was working with Daniel Bryan, so
And I think, like I said, like working with Seth Rollins would be similar. Seth Rollins has enough wrestling acumen to be able to hold it while Roman can deliver the power moves as he did against Bray Wyatt in the last Hell in a Cell match.
So I think, maybe I'll even make it a prediction, TLC, Roman Reigns gets the title. Maybe in a multi-man match. I don't know. But maybe it's time.
Pay-per-view is not big enough.
Just out of curiosity, since you mentioned TLC, is that when the Dudleys are going to get the belt?
That feud's not over? So tell me, what's happening with them on Raw?
There's no Dudleys this week.
Yeah, there wasn't any. And honestly, when it comes to the New Day, just watch it. Because it was brilliant.
That again, I will find.
No, and I'm not talking to you, but I'm just saying to everybody, like, don't listen to us explain.
Okay.
Them talking with Seth Rollins, it's just brilliant.
Their segments the last month have been brilliant.
Yes.
That's my point. Yeah, you know, it's like, God, I love that universe.
Like, we were talking about this before, like, even the small things, like, there was a 5-on-5 Survivor Series match we'll talk about soon, maybe next. New Day was with Seth Rollins. They came out first. Seth Rollins' music hits. They're dancing to Seth Rollins' music in the ring, playing air guitar on his trombone.
Yep.
Did the same thing for Kevin Owens' music. Like, they've struck gold with that.
And it's funny because this is how people get over in the long run. Like, these are the things you remember. Like, I think we've talked about before, like Edge and Christian, when they did the kazoo, when they used to play the kazoo.
Kazoo was amazing.
And there's that episode where Stephanie McMahon was sick, and then Kurt Angle and Triple H are there, and they're playing everybody's themes, and it's not like one of the most, I wouldn't say it's like one of the most famous segments any of those guys have been in, but I remember it, and some of the friends I have always talk about it. And it's things like that, those little things that add up, and are just so hilarious. And the same with the New Day. Like, everyone, when the New Day hopefully make it to the next level, or at least I'm still hoping Big E, world champion, or Kofi, come on. You know, these are the things we'll look back on, like, how did they build them up? And it's like, remember that time they did this? Remember that time they did this? Just things here and there. And then every now and then you strike like a historical segment, and that's when you really just, you're made for life. Can we see one of them winning the world title in 2016?
No.
2016, maybe not, but out of the three, I only see Big E being a legitimate candidate.
No,
I don't
Kofi?
See Kofi. No. I don't see Kofi, and I don't see Xavier.
Definitely not Xavier. I love the guy, but I think he's an amazing manager, and there's no shame in that at all. I think if his lot in life is to be an all-time great manager, more power to him.
Hey,
he could be.
He goes through a table quite well, too.
Oh, my gosh. He's a good wrestler. He's a good wrestler. So again, I want to look ahead a little bit, obviously, because like we keep saying, this might be our final episode for some time. So who do you see in the year 2016 possibly holding the world title?
John Cena.
Really?
Yes.
You think they won't be able to resist?
Yep. I think once he's back, I think he's going to win. Oh, he's definitely going to be in the Royal Rumble. I think it's already a lock.
Yeah. No disagreement here.
I think he wins. And I think he beats whoever's the champ at WrestleMania.
No way. Dario?
I had a thought last night, and this is what I was...
Are you okay? Did you hurt yourself?
Oh, you know my brain hurt after that. There was a four-way match for the women's number one contendership. Alex, actually, there was a storyline. Wasn't necessarily a big one, but there was a small storyline in the women's division. And Paige eventually won it. And for most of the match, she was outside the ring. And I went, that is so Seth Rollins-like. And it dawned on me that we have the authority with such, you know, the greatest power couple. I thought, wouldn't it be awesome if Paige goes ahead, wins the belt, and starts wrestling like Seth Rollins in terms of being... evasive, I'll use a clean word, evasive, and that the two of them wind up forming a junior power couple.
Interesting.
But that's a thought that came to my mind.
I don't hate it.
I know Alex hates it because that means Paige is with somebody else, but...
I think he'd be okay with kayfabe, though.
Oh, okay.
My brow is furrowed. No, it's actually going to be...
Actually, brows.
My brows.
You're not seeing a brow there.
My brow, not my eyebrows. My whole brow. The thing is, and I can't believe it that I criticize her so much, but I don't think she's capable of playing that role that well. I hope she proves me wrong, because from what I'm hearing, you know, she's much more comfortable in this skin that they've put her in recently. But I do worry. I do always feel like, you know, I almost wish like she could go back to NXT for a little bit or something, because I think her growth has been stunted. And I don't know if she could do with Seth Rollins. A female Seth Rollins impression.
I think she's got, in terms of characteristics, I think she's got like that whininess to her, that be able to, maybe Sasha might be a better fit in that role. But I'm just thinking that have we ever had a couple having the men's and women's championships?
I'm certain we have. It escapes me at the moment. It probably involves Stephanie McMahon and Triple H. I'm trying to remember. I know there was, and it was not for a long time. It was a very, I'm sure it was a very brief little situation. But no, I see what you mean. It could work. And again, it would be cool because I'd love to see, you know, the one thing that I think they do, I was going to say, they don't do with the Divas enough, though we did have the wonderful Rusev, Summer, Lana, Ziggler storyline. I always feel like they don't necessarily mix up the Divas with the guys enough, right? Like, storyline wise. So, yeah, in that sense, I support it.
Which they used to with Trish Stratus and Lita was always mixed up in there. Mm-hmm. And I think it would be good to see that back again. But like I said, I think it would be something fresh. And that's what I'm hoping to see in 2016.
You know, you say there was a storyline going into the match. And the only thing is, I still wish they were not so hasty to build. Like, I wish they would take more time building up challengers still. You know, I still feel like just throwing them in a fatal four-way. Or was it four-way? Three-way?
Four-way.
Throwing them in a fatal four-way and saying whoever wins the number one contender, especially since Paige has been on a losing streak for some time and now she wins one match and is the number one. Like, it just seems so silly. And again, it's not a Divas thing. They do this in all the divisions. And I don't know. Like, that's not enough meat for me. You know what I mean? But that's why I'm not watching Raw. See, I just can't. I'm that guy now.
You're that guy.
I'm that guy. I don't want to be that guy. I want to get back to the world title question a little bit. What about, he might be damaged goods at this point, but Rusev. Could it happen?
I don't think it's, again, and here we go. The people that I want to see be champion, there's nothing built up towards it being quote unquote believable. Mm-hmm. And Rusev right now, to me, is not necessarily believable.
There's only one title now, obviously. So let me rephrase this. Who is going to win their first title in 2016, if anyone? We said possibly Roman Reigns already. We said if not this year, then it could be Royal Rumble or something like that. So that's a possibility. I think that's obviously the number one. If anyone,
I think he's the front runner.
Yeah,
odds on
who favorite. Hasn't yeah. won is going to get their first reign. It would be Roman Reigns. Any other possibilities?
Tyler Breeze.
So they're pushing him hard. Is that true?
Not really. He's in the feud with Cesaro. Is it Cesaro? He's in the
No. It's with Dolph.
Dolph Ziggler.
It's
yes.
with Dolph Ziggler. But no. It won't be him.
No.
I'm sorry, but every time I see him, the only thing that comes to my mind is, you're so tiny.
I think we have always had that worry about anyone in NXT. But the thing is he's not even, like, particularly cut. You know what I mean? He's not like, if you look at Finn Balor, I think Finn Balor's about the same size. But Finn Balor has a very, I'm just going to say, he has a very sexy physique.
Ooh, hello.
Yeah. Is everyone awake now? He has a very sexy physique, which is ironic because
Alex just finds he wants a paint job.
Yo, his abs. him and Sexy Star, I think, have the best abs in the business. And John Morrison, obviously.
I got a new thought for who's going to win the first title.
Go, please.
Baron Corbin.
Ooh. Dark horse. Dark horse pick. He's got the size. He's got the size. He's getting better. He's probably nowhere near where he needs to be, but that hasn't stopped him from putting a title on someone before.
How about somebody who's just, what's the proper word? Digested some unnatural forces? Bray Wyatt.
I would love that. Are you back with Bray Wyatt, Connor? I know you've had some problems with Bray.
Back with Bray Wyatt?
I know you've had a certain lack of interest in Bray Wyatt and his shenanigans.
No.
Nothing. It's been a good feud.
I watched his segment this week.
Yes.
It's the first time I've watched it in a while.
Okay.
I don't know if that says anything, but I was really tempted to skip it. But then I was like, oh, they could be talking about Undertaker and Kane.
So tell me a little bit what's going on with that storyline before we're going to move on soon. But tell me a little bit about, where's that going? A Survivor Series match?
I would assume obviously. It's a Survivor Series match.
Although they're not spending very much time promoting it if it's less than 2 weeks away.
22nd is Survivor Series. I messed up.
That's crazy. Sorry.
But yeah, no, I thought it was a decent match. He's up there pontificating as usual with his three cronies behind him. But just saying that he is the new evil now, and, you know, he's eaten their souls, Kane and The Undertaker. And I thought it was pretty cool.
Bray is, you know, he's a good supernatural character. I think they could do better. And I think I'm ready to move on to a company that is doing a ton of kind of weird, funky, supernatural stuff Lucha Underground. Unless there are any other Raw thoughts that need to be urgently discussed.
Unless you want to talk about the Survivor Series match on Raw. But
Lucha it is.
Yeah. Well, that is at least two out of three. I guess we're moving on to Lucha. We start off with Raw because obviously it's more current, and Lucha's just sort of us, you know, having a little bit of fun.
Well, we're also a year behind, right?
Yeah, quite. But fun is the operative word here. It's just nice to watch again. I love the vignettes. We'll jump right into episode. Let's just run into episode three, which starts with a match between Mascarita Sagrada and El Mariachi Loco. El Mariachi Loco, I thought was hilarious. Mascarita. Okay, I'm gonna. I think I've said it before on the show. I don't love mini wrestling.
Why not?
I just never could get into it. I was a kid. You know, as a kid, I would watch.
They're just people.
No, I know, but Pop, I don't know if you remember this match from a long time ago. It was like King Kong Bundy versus like three minis.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It was at a major event. I don't know if it was WrestleMania.
No, then there was the WrestleMania event, which wasn't it. Where it was King Kong Bundy versus Hillbilly Jim.
Yes.
And each of them had two minis.
Yes, thank you. Okay, that's what I'm thinking of.
And that's when Bundy. Okay, he says laughingly. Jumped and did a squash on one of the minis. Okay, that wasn't very funny.
I can see the sadistic look in your eye, and I knew you were going to bring something like that up.
But that's what happened. I mean, the only time watching mini wrestlers is fun is when Roddy Piper and Cowboy Ace Orton shaved the head off him to make him look like Mr. T.
Also, El Torito.
See, I enjoyed the one on Lucha Underground a lot more than what I've seen on WWE because they always make a mockery of it in WWE.
This is true.
At least this one was like a legit wrestler came in and was having a match.
He's
an
amazing talent.
And what do you call it? An inter-height match?
Bob.
I know it's bad. Well, do you have intergender matches? I don't know what to call this.
Well, it'd be the same as like a giant facing
Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Or what was
Rey Mysterio?
The Leprechaun. I forgot his name from WWE.
Maybe that's why. So I wasn't a fan of him as a kid, but I at least was fine with it. Then Hornswoggle came along, and I honestly don't think I've ever enjoyed a Hornswoggle segment in my life.
I liked Hornswoggle versus DX or trying to join DX.
That was the worst.
I love that.
You are with the little people court or whatever.
Yeah,
that was.
And beforehand, when they're don't touch that. Like, anyways.
Did you enjoy him being Vince McMahon's son?
No, that was.
Boy,
that was asinine.
And he's also the mystery GM.
I don't remember any of this. I don't think
good.
Or the mystery GM. Yeah.
Connor, you're so lucky that you just didn't watch or blank this stuff out because.
Never mind.
Just irrelevant and dumb. Then El Torito came along and I kind of warmed up to it. And I'll say Mascarita Sagrada is an incredible talent.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it's just not my cup of tea. I'm not. It's like when people say they don't like women's mixed martial arts. I disagree. I think women's mixed martial arts is awesome. But if someone says that, that's their business. I'm not going to try and convince them. That's, again, it's a matter of taste. It's different. So, and I thought El Mariachi Loco was cool. And I'll say this. I'm a few episodes in deeper than you guys, and he has not showed up again, unfortunately. Though they do have a house band, so they've kind of...
I noticed that on the fourth episode for the first time.
They've been featuring prominently.
Maybe they're just embellishing the story of Mascarito getting the bejeebus kicked out of him.
Yeah. Wait, what? What'd you say?
Didn't he... get killed?
Who?
Mascarito. Got hurt really badly, didn't he?
When? Did he?
After the match.
Remind me what happened?
Didn't Chavo come in?
Was it that match?
I
know at some point there was some encounter. At some point, Chavo hit Mascarita Sagrada with a chair.
Yes.
I don't remember if it was that match.
Oh, I thought it was after that
or
match.
Or one of the other
happened.
Episodes we watched. But at some point, yes, he reared back and hit a mini wrestler with a steel
chair. It wasn't that match.
It wasn't the third episode. It wasn't the third episode, though. I'm positive about that.
Okay. So that was a short match just to showcase Sagrada. And then we had another short match to showcase Mil Muertes beating up on poor Ricky Mandel. I keep saying I like Mil Muertes, and I don't know why. I think I do know why. But I was in my mind, I was struggling. I'm like, what's the difference?
Katrina.
Yeah, Katrina is excellent. But I like him, too. In my mind, I was asking myself, what's the difference between him and like someone who I don't particularly enjoy, a Braun Strowman? Do you guys like Braun Strowman at all?
Again, I'm indifferent.
Not enough in terms of volume of work.
Yeah. So, but what were you seeing? Like, how would you describe him? And like, what you don't like about him? Like, why is he not grabbing your attention? What do you think?
He's the same as everyone else.
He's big.
Oh
and
no,
strong.
To me, he's different. He's the same as everyone else in terms of that power figure.
Yeah.
So when I look at that power figure, the very first one that really intimidated me when I went, wow, was back in the day when Hulk Hogan was fighting Zeus.
Yes, Tiny Lister, the actor Tiny Lister.
And went, like, Zeus was an imposing figure. He was, and Strowman, I find, as an imposing figure.
Yeah.
And then I realized that Zeus couldn't do anything in ring. So with Strowman, I, and people of that size and nature, that's my constant fear, is that they've got the impressive, but they can do diddly inside the ring. And right now, that's why I'm saying, like, for me, there's not enough body of work to find out whether he can or can't.
If anyone ever wants to see a Zeus match besides the ones in WWE, please Google YouTube Abdullah the Butcher versus Zeus. I don't know if you guys have seen this match. It is probably the worst wrestling match in history. And I don't say that as hyperbole. I mean, no, I should say that is hyperbole. There's probably worse, but it is. I can't even describe it. It's bizarre. It's not like a botched thing. It's like, clearly there's something going on backstage. There's something between the two guys. And anyway, it's really bad. So yes, Zeus, Tiny Lister, not the greatest wrestler, but you're right. He had a fantastic look.
And that's why what scares me about Strowman. But back to you and Mil Muertes.
So I realize the problem with Strowman is, now, you know, when you're a big guy, you can get away with doing like, a punch and like a big clothesline and then kind of kill time for like a minute while you like flex and show off. With Strowman, there's this look and there's something in his body language that it looks like he's pausing because he doesn't know what to do next, which is probably the truth. Mil Muertes, he might be green too, I can't tell. Like I said, I don't know who he is. I believe what he's doing. There's an intent. There's like when he's being slow, quote unquote slow, it actually looks like he's kind of planning what he's going to do next. It looks like it's leading into something logical. Now he's working with some really good talents in most of his matches, but I don't think I'm just biased because it's not WWE. I think there is something to Mil Muertes that is very compelling, and he really reminds me of some of the great Attitude Era brawlers. Like I actually quite enjoy it.
So it's, he tells the story just in a different way. So he's not slow, he's methodical.
Yeah, he doesn't need to do. And it's great. Obviously, he's a different character in Lucha Underground. He's not a high flyer. He's not, you know, he doesn't do anything crazy. He's just clotheslines and slams, and he bumps well for a big guy. So I actually really like him. I think I'd love to see him in a wrestle, you know, for another promotion someday. But glad he's with Lucha. Now, all this was really leading up to the main event of that, what was probably the best match of the first three episodes.
Probably.
Conan going to Darío Cueto and saying, look, I got some guys. I got three guys that you won't believe. And Cueto saying, well, let's put them all in a match together and see what they can do. And it wasn't a very long match, but in that short amount of time, Phoenix, Drago, and Pentagon Jr. put on a hells of a show.
It was unbelievable. I remember watching it and couldn't catch my breath. And then I showed it to my sons this past weekend who I had, and I went, okay, you have to watch this. You know, Dad, you know, I said, just watch this. Like I said, so many high-flying movements, but that last one to win the match was stunning. And I remember Alex turning to me going, Dad, like, if he misses by a few millimeters, I went, I know. That move just looks so dangerous to do. And I can't believe they pulled it off.
I had kind of like the same experience. I watched it on my own. And then I showed it to Jamie Mountain, who's kind of like a son to me.
a wrestling son, nonetheless.
A wrestling son, yes. He is my prodigy of wrestling. I showed it to him, and he was saying, like, so many high spots in that match. Some moves I've never seen before. But I do remember that last move. I remember Candice LeRae doing it to Johnny Gargano.
And how are we forgetting that that's how the first Sasha Banks Bayley match ended? The reverse hurricane run off the top rope. It just shows you how dangerous that move was. Like, that was insane.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I think from a standstill rather than I thought it was a lot harder from a standstill position to do that.
I think they're equally dangerous. I think flying from the top rope from that angle is crazy.
Dangerous, but this one here just, I don't know. It just looked like either with the force or the power, because, I mean, the guy standing there has to jump up and flip backwards. Not the easiest thing.
No, again, you know,
and
again,
land on his head.
None of these moves were easy. Phoenix springboards around the ring like nothing. He just loves, like, I'm not just going to springboard off one rope. Like, why springboard off one rope when I could springboard off two or three ropes and then do a Hurricane Rana or do a tornado DDT or do a, you know, some sort of spinning splash. I'll tell you this, there's a lot more Phoenix in the next few episodes. You guys will be very happy.
Or jumping off a 30-foot platform.
And yeah, that is so stupid. And yet, hey, if these guys, look, These guys are professional performers. If they know how to do it safely, have at it, I say. But Lord have mercy, that is frightening.
So you're not a high spot guy anyway, though.
You know, it's funny. So I was going to say, I had to brace myself because, like you guys know, I like a bit more of an old school Southern style or even Attitude Era style. I love high flying moves, but for me, it's like I had to accept it's a different kind of story. You know what I mean? Not every movie is the same, right? Like, I'm not going to judge a drama the same as I would judge a horror movie or a sci-fi movie. So in some ways, you can kind of tell the same story just with a different vocabulary and with different sort of special effects. So I probably didn't love this match as much as you guys did. The athleticism, obviously, incredible. But I'm getting used to it. I had to accept this is a different show.
That, you know what, and that's something that I came, when I started watching the fourth show, and I know we all have.
Mm-hmm.
When I started watching the fourth show, I noticed two things. Number one, there's four matches this time rather than three.
Mm-hmm.
And there was more masked luchas, you know, seemed to be coming in. And I'm thinking to myself going, is this going to get boring?
Mm-hmm.
And I asked myself that question because I was afraid that if we keep watching these mass luchas, that eventually it's not going to have the same impact as the first three episodes did. And so that worried me greatly. And we won't get into those three matches, but advance to the main event. And I went, okay. I needed a sprinkling of Big Rick and Johnny
almost
Mundo.
Almost a WWE style
almost
match.
Just a little bit. And I went, okay,
good.
As long as they can, you know, continue to have a bit of variety like that, then everything is going to be okay.
Yeah, I think it's a credit to the wrestlers as well. Like you said, they're all masked, so there's some monotony there. But that, for the most part, they portray their characters so well, and they have such a distinct body language. Like, Phoenix is the never say die, you know, just his name is Phoenix, the never say die, the highest flyer, I think, so him and Puma. And then you have Pentagon Jr., who's got this kind of creepy vibe. Like, his look, it's intense. And like,
well, they're explaining it, like, the Pentagon is like the bad side of a lucha.
Mm-hmm.
They're always called Pentagons.
And there you go, right?
And then the no fear symbol.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's distinct. He's definitely distinct. I wouldn't get Phoenix and Pentagon Jr. confused, and I wouldn't get them confused with Drago. Drago's got this kind of weird, he's got the tongue. Yeah.
Have you ever heard of the band Guar?
I've never listened to their music, but they were pretty big. No, somewhat big in like the 90s.
They perform wearing like dragon masks,
right,
and like big horns on their shoulders, right, and stuff like that. So whatever Drago's wearing.
Guar,
yes.
And then the new guy who debuted on episode 4, King Cuerno, who's the hunter. You know, who, and I actually thought, I thought he was like a former WWE guy or something, but apparently he's El Hijo Fantasma. Something like Phantasma. I'm sorry, I'm probably saying that wrong. But yeah, and I actually like his character too, the hunter. And I love the ending to that match, the pin combination that Drago used.
Oh, it was
insane.
Phenomenal.
Yes.
And I said, it's not so much in terms of that I get to confuse because they're masked. You're saying that I'm masked racist? Never mind. What I'm saying, though, is that the whole style of lucha, the high flying, that there is so much. I was getting worried that it might get to the point where I'd find it monotonous.
And
that's what I was fearing.
There's only so many times you can see a guy tumble out to that one side of the ring where they do all their dives and then see the dive. The dives are amazing. Dives will always be amazing. But it does become rehearsed after a while. I agree. I think, like you said, that there's a little palate cleanser, a lucha palate cleanser with the Mundo Big Rick thing. But right now, I do like the mix of talent they have. You know, I think the Big Rick, I think Big Rick is a pretty decent big man worker. It's a shame that he actually has retired recently, so he won't be making a comeback to the WWE. But yeah, I like what I'm seeing from him so far. I like what I'm seeing from Johnny Mundo. Very good, I think, very good guy to build your first few episodes around, him and Puma. And I like the storyline with sort of, you know, him and Puma working together, but Conan trying to sort of control Puma's career, things like that. So I don't know.
And also how, you know, we don't know whether Puma was going to go in or not, but he never got the opportunity because he got jumped.
Yes.
And I thought that, to me, that was, I didn't expect that necessarily.
Uh-huh.
But it's one of those things that there was a delay,
mm-hmm,
right? And we didn't get an answer right away whether Puma was going to be friendly or not. Now we have to wait yet another week to find out.
Connor, what did you think of how they implemented that? Because if in the WWE, as we're used to, if a scene were to happen backstage during a match, it would pop up on the TitanTron. The guy in the ring would get distracted or something. This was weird. They cut, you know, they just cut the scene. Mm-hmm. They literally just cut the scene in post, and sort of the commentators, they did not see it. The commentators clearly had to act like they did not see it. And then we had, we watching the episode now know like, oh, that's why Puma didn't show up. But how did you think, did that work for you, or did you find that
jarring?
See,
I'm glad you brought it up, because I was going to say something about it. It was definitely really different. I wasn't, like, I don't know how to explain it, but it felt kind of amateurish to me, I found. Because we're accustomed to it, like you said, coming up on the Jumbotron and everyone reacting to it. But I don't know. I'm not sold on it, but I'm not deterred from it either.
You might just have to get used to it.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah. It's the first time we saw it. I imagine it's something they'll do again in future episodes, or maybe not. But
I think it's like you mentioned a couple episodes ago about the difference between the WWE and its quote-unquote reality-style wrestling. Right? And this is something that we're not used to, where we have to believe that there's a curtain there that we have more information than the actual wrestlers within the show.
One match we didn't talk about yet, Sexy Star and Eva Lise. Guys, I think I'm starting to crush on Sexy Star pretty hard. I'm not going to lie.
Starting?
I didn't, you know, at first...
You've been talking about sexy for the last 2 weeks. Give me
a
break.
Well, I'm crushing on this Sexy Star in our booth with us, Dario, but the real Sexy Star, she's something. I'm willing to say that. I think she's a little something.
She's good. She's good talent. See, that's my one complaint with Lucha right now, is I know you guys don't care about, I don't know if you don't care about it, but we always talk about it, how badly the commentators objectify these women.
Yeah, I know what they're trying to do.
I don't like it.
I know what they're trying to do. Vampiro in particular is really bad.
Which commentators?
Vampiro in particular is really bad. Like, sometimes Matt Striker will kind of like try and get a decent thread going, and it'll just get derailed immediately by some comment by Vampiro. She's a hot tamale or some crap like that, and I'm like, Vampiro is really bad. He is truly, truly a bad commentator.
Yeah, I'm slowly turning over to your side.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, really enjoying the Lucha Underground experience. Like I said, I'm a couple episodes ahead of you guys, and I'm not going to lie, I kind of like had to pull back. I kind of was like, I'm going to just not go anymore because I want to sort of be able to still have the episodes that we've all watched be in my recent memory, because it's a good binge watch. I think it's definitely a good binge watch.
Oh, it is. And I said it moves at a, I find at a great pace, not necessarily like a fast pace, but I don't necessarily want it to be at a fast pace the entire episode either.
Guys, we've got about 10 minutes left. I think, and you know, I think it's okay for us to take a few moments to recollect and look back on these 16, 17 some episodes that we've done together. I remember, I'm going to just start off because I choose to, that we all started talking. We started talking right away because every class had us do the stand up and say something about yourself and who you are, blah, blah. And it just happened over and over again. And I don't remember if I gave the same answer every time, but I think at some point I was just like, I'm just going to mention wrestling. Who cares? And I said I wanted to... I love pro wrestling, and I want to write a book someday that makes $1 million. So I still love pro wrestling. That book probably never going to happen. But you guys picked up on that right away and started just asking me about it.
See, I thought it was very courageous of you, because I would never stand up and say that.
Really?
I will now. 100% I will now. But back then, back in January, I wouldn't stand up and say I'm a big professional wrestling fan.
Oh.
Actually, I used to stand up in front of offices when I was a manager, and one of the things to break the ice when you had a new group of people, especially when I was doing training classes, was tell something about yourself that nobody knows. And I always said that my guilty pleasure was that I watch wrestling.
I don't even call it a guilty pleasure anymore. I'm proud of it. I don't feel guilty about it.
You know, my moment for me was when I got introduced by both of you, and especially yourself, Alex, to the independent scene. That just, you know, blew my mind, watching Smash Wrestling for the first time and not understanding, like leading up to it. And it just seemed like there's this whole new world out there that I hadn't explored, and now I had an opportunity to explore it, and that was just phenomenal.
That was your first time going to an independent show ever?
Yeah, ever.
Really?
Ever.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
What was your experience prior to that? I remember you. I know you've had You've met Tyson.
Exactly.
Yeah. Back
you're
in the
familiar
day.
With Tyson Dukes.
So what promotions? Do you remember what promotions he was working for and what you saw? Things like that.
It was just a Midland promotion, but I saw probably like 5 or 6 shows when I was probably like 12, 13 years old. But that was the only experience I've ever had was those shows in Midland. I can't remember the name of the company, but I had a couple friends that were in it, and well, I shouldn't say a couple of my friends. I was 12-year-old, so my friends' brothers were in it, and they were wrestling Tyson. I think they still keep in contact with him.
It's really amazing, you know. So I'm also actually very much a late bloomer, even going to shows. I went to my first show, the first live show I ever went to, and I'm very lucky to be able to say this was at I gotta pronounce it right, at Korakuen Hall. I'm just gonna say it in English style. Korakuen Hall in Japan, in Tokyo. And I got to go with my brother, and we got to see some guys who are in the WWE today. So at that show, Pac was there, now known, of course, as Neville. What's his name? I know his WWE name, but now I'm trying to remember what he was called. This is how good the WWE is at marketing people.
Did you say brainwashing?
Yes, no. Prince Devitt, who was, I believe, in the finals of that tournament, or Prince Devitt, now known, of course, as Finn Balor. So very, very lucky to get to see these guys in the early stages. And I mean, obviously you knew they were going to become stars right away. That we were joking that Neville would never pass the wellness policy. He was, I mean, you look at him now, he's always been jacked to the gills, but I guess it's all natural. And I was lucky to see that show, and that made me realize, wow, I've been not watching, like, I've been missing out on live wrestling this whole time. Like, all I knew was watching on TV, and I didn't realize, watching TV is a great experience, but live is just totally different.
Have you ever been to a WWE event?
Just one. I went to the Raw, and I'll never forget the rant. This was when they were in the middle of the storyline where the authority was giving a hard time to Cody Rhodes and his family.
Okay.
And Cody and Goldust had to fight for Cody's job. And they were playing up how Goldust had always let Cody down, and he's the weird one. And like, this, you know, Goldust, could he just step up for one night to help his brother out? And he faced Randy Orton. And if I was watching on TV, I don't know if I would have been as into it. But somehow you really bought into, like, man, what if, like, you really believed, and it's a credit to Randy as well, you really believed Goldust might have beat him. You really thought, like, is Goldust going to win this match? And it was such an emotional match, and one of the best matches I've ever seen live. Even though I was in the nosebleeds, it was incredible.
I haven't been, when I was a kid, I used to go, me and my dad used to go to Raw, SmackDown, anything we can go to, anything live. But I haven't been in a long time. I'd like to go again. I think there's a show in the end of December.
Mm.
I don't know if you guys are interested.
Is it a Raw or a house show? Or taping? Is it some sort of taping?
No, it's just a live event.
I'd love to go to a live
event. See, I went to the most recent WWE show I went to was a live event in Hamilton. This was about 3 years ago. And I took my sons to it. And I went, it was like 5 of us in total that had gone. And I was disappointed. I mean, we were, 30 rows up, something like that. So I just found that the access wasn't there. They didn't have any of the pyrotechnics like a Monday Night Raw or something of that nature. And it just really, to me, didn't have the effect. The best thing was that I got to and see my sons enjoy it, and that was it. But for myself to go to something like that, not interested. I went back to, I was at a Raw decades ago. I was at the WCW when they came to Toronto, when Goldberg speared Bret Hart and Bret Hart quit. He had the metal plate there.
Oh, yes.
We actually got on TV because I bought 25 tickets because a whole bunch of people from work wanted to go, and we held a sign like House of Hart or something like that and got on TV. So those were cool experiences. But I don't know. And that's why I say when the independent, you know, the closeness of the wrestlers coming up, even like general admission, when the first one I went with both of you and the kids was, oh my God, right there. And then, you know, I see Son of Havoc, you know, Matt Cross.
Yeah.
I saw him.
I know that beard.
I touched him, you know, and Samoa Joe. And then, you know, like now, you know, Pentagon Jr. And they're coming, like, well, wow, right? And but it's that immediacy, that intimacy, that you'll never see at a WWE unless you spend $400 or $500 and get like ringside seats.
Yeah, the line is very thin now, and that's a good thing. I think it is weird to be so close to some of these people who then become these television stars, you know, and even the ones who don't. I should say, obviously, the ones hey, if you guys, if you're an independent worker for life, but you're, you know, that's your passion and you're able to keep doing that, man, I admire it so much. So much respect.
Shout out to Tariq.
I have a quick question for you there, Alex.
Yes.
Have you heard anything about how Swan's doing?
I don't know if he's debuted yet or if he's just doing live events, sort of NXT live events.
And I just saw that Johnny Gargano is fighting Sebastian Suave November 22nd for the championship in London. Did any of you know that?
What?
Take a look at Smash Wrestling website.
Oh, I will.
London, Ontario, I'm assuming?
Road trip!
Like Smash Wrestling is really expanding.
So Suave's obviously got to win, you would think.
I don't know, but Gargano was actually wrestling an event.
Can you imagine 5 years ago WWE ever allowing that? Like, that's crazy to me. Like, that is so nuts. But again, I think it's so wonderful. Like, yeah, there's his face. Look at that.
And it is Sunday the 22nd, right? Hold on a second. That's the WWE main event, isn't it? Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep.
I just want to say again, so many good memories. The rise of Candice. We got to see the Candice LeRae's run to the title. I mean, she didn't win it, but the run to contendership.
Forget that. We got to see Candice. Period.
And the other very talented women.
I didn't say naked.
The other. Oh my goodness. Yeah, we're definitely winding down now. All the other talented women of Smash Wrestling. And I also, of course, want to mention the Brent Banks Invitational, Brent Banks and Facade, and Jason Kincaid and Kevin Bennett, which was just one of those matches where you don't know what to expect, and then it just happens, and you're like, that was great. I got to watch that again sometime. Like, it was so much fun.
And we get to on Smash TV, and we, you know, videotape, and
yep, DVDs.
And they go, hey, that's me.
Yo, that dude standing up there flipping out.
That guy just jumped on top of me.
He's just getting pushed out of the way.
That's my lap. His head is in my lap. That dude's lap. That dude is me. So, guys, I'm so glad that you guys were able to come out to some of the independent shows and that we were just able to talk wrestling all the time, whether it was complaining about it, which was like 90% of the time, but also, you know, enjoying it.
And to even go that one step further and, you know, marry our love for wrestling with our, hopefully, for me, new career path, and for both of you,
our love for each other.
No, but, you know, again, kudos to Smash Wrestling, and thank you so much for allowing us to go backstage and to film and to do the feature. You know, great people. Courtney, Rush, thank you so much for that wonderful interview. Poor Kimberly saying yes to interview after dislocating your shoulder, having it popped back in. Like, I mean, seriously, thank you, everybody.
Connor?
I didn't get to do it. No, very disappointed.
Any other?
Well, you picked digital, man.
Well, you did make a new best friend in Casey Spinelli, though.
Yes, I did.
Yes, she's very nice.
Yes, I haven't seen her since then, but.
Well, we haven't gone to a show.
Since she drank your beer?
Since she drank my beer. She still owes me half a beer.
She owes you, exactly. So someday we're going to get that scoop and maybe even have her on a future show, should this continue someday. But otherwise, I think it's time for us to sign off. Very grateful to you guys for sitting down every week and doing this podcast. 16 episodes. It doesn't sound like a lot, but I think it is considering the various other things we had to juggle and time off we had from school and other projects.
16 weeks.
This is 17 16, episodes,
this will be 17
by the way.
Now.
Yeah. 17 weeks.
But that's all I got to say. Connor, Pop?
For me, Connor, thank you very much. Shaking your hand there. You're a great guy. Alex, no offense. You're the second best Alex I have known in my entire life.
I am offended.
Third for me.
That other Alex better be some woman that you violated.
No. No, but honestly.
That's Alexandria.
But honestly, I did violate his mom.
Oh, okay, well, that part's not making it in. And there's the gap for the editing.
Yes. No.
And then we're back. And again, but yeah. And of course, thank you anyone who happened to listen to our show, especially all you spam bots out there. Thank you for...
thank you, spammers.
Thank you, spam
Raising
bots and
web
spiders for crawling over our, our page and adding to that view count. But and sincerely to anyone who actually listened, especially I know some people from Smash who put it on when they need to go to sleep.
Glad we can help.
Glad we can help.
We will be back. Mark my words, we will be back.
We will be back. Connor has announced it. So for Connor Dorian and Pop Passarelli, I'm Alexander K. Lee. Thank you for listening to As the Heel Turns.